Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, my guest today is Josh Moran, who is the co-founder and CEO of VitalStorm, a digital marketing agency that helps local service companies scale their businesses by filling their call boards with qualified leads. Since forming the agency in 2010, he and his team have helped to drive thousands of leads for some of the most successful local brands, such as Milestone Electric, Service Champions, Gold Medal Service, and hundreds of others across the U.S. Today, we're going to be discussing Josh's journey of building his agency and what he's learned along the way. Thanks so much for joining us today, Josh.
Julia, thank you for inviting me on. It's just a pleasure to be here.
Awesome. So let's dive in. To get started, I'd love to ask you a few questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
So tell us to start, where are you tuning in from today?
So I'm just outside of Dallas, Texas, in a small little town called Rockwall, Texas. Actually, Heath, Texas, which is a sister city of Rockwall, or used to be. Now we like to call ourselves our own bona fide city. But 10 years ago, no one knew where Rockwall was, so I always had to refer to Dallas. We're about 30 miles outside of there, but yeah, Dallas, born and raised. I spent about 2 years outside of Dallas living in Chicago, not Chicago, why did I say that? I was living in Los Angeles, but I rushed back to Dallas absolutely as fast as possible because I just wasn't cut out for Los Angeles.
That's awesome. Very nice. Yeah. And then, so what would you say motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
So, you know, everybody gets into their career, whether it's entrepreneurship or they're on a team somewhere. And they do so because obviously everybody wants to make a living. They want to love what they do. They want to have fun doing it. And so necessity, I needed to start a business. Moving back from Los Angeles, I needed to start something for my family. And some doors opened up, which I'm sure we'll get into that discussion here today. And then I discovered well into it that really what motivates me and drives me to do this, and I know this might sound cliche and you might hear this a lot from people, but I mean it from the bottom of my heart and I trust that they do too. Mm-hmm. It's the people on my team. I love them. I love leading. I love encouraging. I love creating something for them that they mm-hmm. can fill, you know, fill a void, fill a need and grow from it. It inspires me. So if my team's not growing, I'm not growing and I feel, I don't feel fulfilled. I don't like that.
Yeah. No, I don't think there's anything cliche about that. I think, you know, as an entrepreneur, you've got to have that why, that driving factor, that thing that really you're passionate about. And whatever that is, I think it's just so important because it really helps drive you every day.
100% does. Absolutely.
Awesome. So tell us how you got into digital marketing.
So I didn't mean to. It was actually kind of an accident. I had always been interested in the creative space. I'm no artist. I can't draw or paint or do anything like that, but I liked creating, whether it was a process or a thought or an idea, a campaign, a program, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. I always just kind of gravitated towards the ideation piece of things. And living out in Los Angeles, I was working in post-production for a television production company. And when we moved back to Dallas, I just didn't have that kind of work thriving here. And so I had some friends, one in particular who was an entrepreneur. He was a business owner. He needed someone to come in and develop some marketing strategy. And I had never been in a marketing space, but he was a close friend. And I said, we can figure this out. And so we just started working on some things and it seemed to kind of gain traction and work. And he knew other entrepreneurs and introduced me to them. And before I knew it, I had six of these guys And I found myself going to the mailbox, or actually calling my wife, go, can you go to the mailbox, see if there's a check? And we just started this little business, just me by myself and, you know, her taking care of our newborn son at home. And yep. And there you go. I had my own agency that I was running. And then through that, I'd, you know, gotten my feet wet into marketing, and I realized, okay, this is going to be the path for me. And we just doubled down. And about 4 years later, maybe 5 years later, I ran into a guy through a mutual client who then became my partner here at VitalStorm. And that was my genesis of getting involved in marketing. And that first client that my friend that mm-hmm. got me into this, still a client today. Gosh, it must be, what was that, 2007? That's it. Wow. It'll be 20 years. And, you know, in about 4 years, it'd be, gosh, 20 years with the same client. That's kind of crazy. I haven't really done the math on that yet.
Yeah, that's so impressive. I love it when you can get to that point where you just have such a strong working relationship that you're friends with the person at the end of the day. So, yeah, that's so awesome.
Yeah.
And then, so tell me more about that story about, you know, how VitalStorm was born and, you know, why you decided to take the plunge and start VitalStorm.
So our expertise is in local marketing, specifically in the home services, and we utilize digital marketing. So those are our channels, paid and organic channels on digital marketing. The home service space, when we got started, honestly, I thought we were the only people out there doing marketing for them. I learned much later that was untrue, that there were other agencies just like us. But mm-hmm. that's how rare it was. I mean, it was this wide open space, and we were on one end, and other agencies that are still thriving today are on way other ends. We didn't really cross each other's paths for probably the first 5 years. You know, this we've been an agency going on 11 years now.
Wow.
Now before, you know, I was before this, all the way back to 2007, I was just kind of doing this on my own. I just kind of juggling, you know, 5 or 6 clients.
Yeah.
But when we formed the agency, we still thought we might be the only ones out here. And so there was a massive opportunity for us to grow. And we didn't have to do it. We're a marketing agency, but we didn't do any marketing for ourselves. All we did was take the calls that were being referred to us. And we grew exponentially. And it grew very, very fast. This was the first time I ever ran a business like this. This is the first time I was ever at the head of an agency with a partner. And we learned the good, the bad, and the ugly all at once.
Yeah.
And it was a wild ride, but I'm happy to say that we survived it. And I would say that just before COVID hit is when we really dug into who we believed we were at that point. I mean, it was just, you know, fast growth until we decided, okay, now we know who we are. We changed our direction a bit, and then COVID hit and just kind of put everything in a bit of a holding pattern. But now that that's behind us and gone, here we are, and we're gaining traction now as an agency that now has discovered themselves. You know how when you're young, I remember when I was a kid, I thought I was going to be a professional baseball player, right? Yeah. And that drove me and motivated me to go to practice, to do everything I needed to do to play baseball. And I sucked at baseball. Okay. And then when you become a teenager, you know, that some of those, that reality sets in and some other things start, you know, kind of coming about. And then it's not until you really move out on your own that you realize, you know, who you are and what you can do. And we had so much of that fast growth, and then going through COVID, I feel like we're at that stage now where, you know, we know who we are, and we're excited to be where we're at.
Awesome. So I'd love to hear a little bit more about your experience dealing with that fast growth. You know, yeah. what were some of the challenges that you had to overcome that kind of went along with that rapid growth of the company?
So, you know, any entrepreneur, and even if you're not an entrepreneur, everyone knows that it's really important to have the right people on the team. Mm-hmm. And you know that going in. And so you do your best to have the right people on the team. And let me go ahead and say, everyone that's been on our team has been fantastic. We've never really hired anyone that we're like, oh my gosh, this person has to go immediately. This is not working out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's almost impossible, or at least for me, let me just talk about me. It was impossible for me to truly know, as I was learning myself, what is the right fit for the right, you know, right spot. And so as you, something I think you can only learn through experience or have wisdom handed down to you from someone else, mm-hmm. is understanding what the right fit is and then who the right person is to go, to fill that seat. It's just like in Good to Great, you know, get the right people on the bus and then mm-hmm. get them in the right seats is crucial. But so, you know, you can set out to do that early on. And if anyone's watching this and are just starting an agency or they're hoping to start an agency soon, it can be challenging because you don't always quite know what that right fit is. Mm-hmm. But you'll learn through experience. The key is, I think, is just always be open and upfront with those people you bring on your team. Let them know that there's an great opportunity here for them to grow and excel, mm-hmm. Which also comes with the opportunity for them to maybe need to be moved from seat to seat, or maybe even help find a seat somewhere else. And we've had folks leave our agency where we have helped them do so, found mm-hmm. a spot for them, because we're in the people business. I know we do marketing, but we need people to do it.
Yeah.
And so we take care of those people first so that then we can do the really good marketing. And so it's important to get them on the bus right and then get them off the bus right. And mm-hmm. while they're on the bus, get them in that right seat. And so that was one of the biggest challenges for us to sort out and to learn. Even though we could read all the books and go to all the webinars and go to all the conferences, a lot of that is just learned through just the hard work of doing it.
Interesting. So if you could give any advice to any other agency owners who, you know, were going through those same challenges of, you know, just discovering who would be the right fit within their agency for various roles, what advice would you give them?
So get outside help, talk to people. We have some of my greatest friends are my competitors. I have friends that are competing against me, and we share thoughts and ideas. We talk about team members. One of our best hires lately has come as a referral from another agency who I directly compete with. And I count Amazing. That as a blessing to be able to have that sort of relationship in the industry. You can do it. You don't mm-hmm. have to be enemies with those guys. You need to have outside help and some outside perspective looking in on your business. Have a coach, have a mentor. I've had coaches and mentors in the past, and it has gotten me to where I am today. I would not be who I am. I wouldn't be the dad, the husband, the friend, the father, the leader, the entrepreneur I am without those voices in my life and mm-hmm. holding me accountable. And those are people I can ask questions to and say, look, I'm dealing with this. This is a situation. Am I right? Am I wrong? How do I fix this? How do we make this right? Because you can't do it all on your own. And with that yeah. outside influence, other tools, one of this is very specific. One of the tools that we have discovered that has dramatically changed how we see and hear and lead people mm-hmm. is the Culture Index. That one thing I've been a part of DISC. I've been a part of Enneagram. I've been a part of, you know, all these popular tools that people use. This one by far has helped us the most because it truly gives us a full picture of how someone is wired. And what I love most about it is the Culture Index, not only, so we all know what the golden rule is, right? Treat others as you want to be treated. The yeah. Culture Index teaches us how to treat others the way they want to be treated. And so that's been a dramatic shift in our leadership here. And if I would have had that, you know, day one, I wouldn't have known how to use it quite, you know, because I wouldn't have known the pains of living yeah. without it.
Yeah.
But now that I have, and I got, it changes everything. And from here on out, I know I won't repeat some of those same mistakes or pains or waste someone else's time by putting them in the wrong seat.
Interesting. So how do you make your team or how do you boost productivity within your team to help save them time?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's like the ever present question, right? So as an agency, we don't have parts and inventory, and we don't have to, you know, buy supplies and resell them. And we don't make goods out of raw material. All we have is our own time and expertise. Mm-hmm. And so that's our greatest resource, and that's what we have to manage. And so first and foremost, we went, you know, 5-6 years as an agency without implementing a solid time tracking process. Mm-hmm. Because it's so painful to do, we just put it off, which is stupid, right? And then we went through the pain of doing so. So if we're looking, if we want to answer the question, how do we motivate people to do more? We first have to know what they're doing and what it's costing them and where their time is going. And so starting with the baseline of tracking their time and then learning how to create efficiencies around that. So we're extremely process oriented. Mm-hmm. Sometimes to our fault, our own fault, like we will over process things at times and we've got to unwind it and sort of learn to live in that happy middle.
Yeah.
But when you're looking at your time and where people's time is going, it helps you get a better understanding of what's what. So as an entrepreneur, you might not have the full picture of where everyone's putting every hour of the day or every minute of the day. Mm-hmm. But if you have a tool in place that's tracking it, you can see it. Then you can sit down with your leadership and start figuring out where you can implement things. And then quite honestly, it boils down to this. We're paying this person this much per hour when we break their salary down. Mm-hmm. Do we really want to pay that person per hour? Or do we need to outsource that? Do we need to find someone else that we're paying less per hour to do these sorts of things? So this mm-hmm. person can take their... So there's a lot of strategy and thinking and in your process design. But at the end of the day, it also comes down to just inspiring people to want to do more. And so I think what I've learned over the years of how I can inspire folks is I have to first let them know they have to trust and believe that I care about them, that I any change or uncomfortable redirection that I want them to take comes from a place of this is best for you. This is best for our company. This is best for the clients. It's a win-win-win.
Yep.
And then I have to always keep vision in front of them. So our clients, the work we do with our clients is really just a product of our, the longevity in that work will be a product of our relationship. The mm-hmm. same thing with our team members, right? So if you really think about it, it always boils down to relationships because people don't quit their company. They quit their boss. They quit their manager, right? They quit their
100%.
Team.
100%. Yep.
That's why people will stick with, you know, a company that they're really not that enthused with, but they just love the people they work with, or they really yep. respect their boss and they want to stick around.
Yeah.
And so keeping vision in front of them is really important because just like any relationship, if you run out of vision, you don't see a future together. And if you think about one of our most intimate relationships we have out there is with our partner, our spouse. And you know, when you've reached that point in a relationship, or maybe you have a friend that's going through a divorce and you talk with them, you say, you know, what's going on? They'll usually say something like, you know what, Josh, I just couldn't see myself in this relationship any longer. And they're literally telling you, I don't have the vision. I don't see it. Something's happened that's changed that vision. And yeah. I know that's very deep, very dramatic, very personal, but that same thing exists even between coworkers, between a boss and an employee, because mm-hmm. they need to know that relationship is the right relationship for them. And mm-hmm. they need to see the vision.
Yeah.
They don't just need to know what the company's mission statement is. They need to literally see the vision. And that's really hard. And I can't say that I've always been the best at it. I try really, really hard to keep vision in front of people because it's not easy. But as an entrepreneur, I mean, if being successful in entrepreneurship was easy, everyone would do it. These are the hard things.
Yeah.
That we have to quit complaining yeah. about and just do it.
Yeah. You got to solve the hard problems as an entrepreneur, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are some ways that you keep the vision in front of your team members and really help instill your culture within them?
That's also one of those ever-present questions that we're always trying to answer for ourselves. And so just some practical things that we do is we make sure, so I don't know if I told you this, but we are 100% remote. We weren't before COVID. And even before COVID, I was thinking, you know, one day I want this to be 100% remote agency. I want to be able to find talent anywhere in the globe. And we just thrive because of that.
Yeah.
And so COVID forced us into that. And we had, you know, my partner and I, we had made plans to possibly come back from, you know, from COVID remote. But deep down inside, I just knew that this is our chance. And so I really pushed for it. And our team really rallied together and came back. So we had to come up with even unique ways of keeping vision in front of people since everyone was scattered. At first, we were scattered throughout Dallas, but now we have people in six different states in just 2 years.
Wow.
And so keeping people engaged is a challenge because all we have is Zoom.
Yeah.
We have, sometimes we get together as a group, we'll fly people in and we'll do things, but for the most part, it's Zoom. And so we immediately instituted a virtual town hall because town halls were part of what we did in the office as an agency. Once a month, we sat down and we shared vision. We inspired people in a relevant way, whatever was going on in our company or in our culture at the time. We share all the numbers. They know, you know, what revenue is, where we're at, if we're over, under, if we're hurting, if we're strong. We started just spilling our guts on all that because we wanted to eliminate as much fear, uncertainty, and doubt as we possibly could. Because, and you know what? Honestly, some people couldn't take it. And I don't say that as a way to diminish that those people, but some people don't want to hear when their company's struggling because that actually incites fear in them. But we found that other people, it began to eliminate the fear because they saw the transparency. And I started getting feedback going, hey, because you're sharing this that we're behind, that makes me think that you guys really trust us and makes me want to trust you.
Mm-hmm.
And it would actually instill, you know, that respect and trust. And I think that was the foundation of helping build the culture we have as well as cast vision, because we would build vision then on top of that. So when we stand up there and say, hey guys, our mission is to do X, Y, Z. There's no, I'm sure. Yeah, we'll get to that. I mean, every agency says things like that, right? But if it's built on a foundation of trust, then that vision will shine through.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I love that you guys do those monthly town hall meetings. I think that's such a great way to just inspire your team and just keep everyone on the same path.
Absolutely. And another key to it is we can't take ourselves too seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to let other people lead. I have team members that report to me, but sometimes we get lost in some of the conversation because I want to hold myself as accountable to them as they hold to me. And so I'll have very proud moments with team members when they actually call me out and say, Josh, that's not what we said we were going to do. And I I've gotten carried away in my big vision and my inspiration and all this. And like, hey, you know what? You're right. We need to back up. Let's do this the right way. And
yeah.
So I think that if you want to have a really thriving, strong culture, you got to have people on your team that you can trust to also be a voice and to contribute part of that vision as well. Because I've tried it. I've tried carrying this vision all on my own. And that's such a narcissistic outlook. And the truth is it's self-sabotaging because you're going to crack under that pressure because you can't be the one that carries everything.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't be the only one that's got the binoculars out front and people got to wait for you to say what's ahead. And we need to give them all, you know, the vision to see. And
yeah,
I mean, it's got to come through other voices as well on the team.
Absolutely. I love it. So I'd like to pivot a little bit and talk about sales within your agency and what that looks like. So I'd love to know how you're bringing in leads into your agency and then how you're closing those prospects.
So we've discovered that not everyone is a fit for us and we're not a fit for them. And in an agency life, you have to determine who your customer is, who's your audience, and then you go for it, which means you also have to determine who's not, and you got to be willing to say no. And so there are channels for advertising that's going to bring in more people, but it could be inefficient because you're bringing in more of the people you don't want. And you're going to either be pressured to take those clients on because you paid for them, or you're just going to like always be unhappy about, you know, the results you're getting. And so we just take a very targeted and we go old fashioned. We just do email and we reach out. It's either from me or it's from my partner, business partner, Jeff, or it's from Austin, who's on our sales team. And, we just constantly reach out. So we'll source, contacts through LinkedIn. and other, you know, things we're involved. We're a part of a trade organization that serves this industry. So our clients are going to this organization to get mentoring and help and strategy, and they've brought us in as you know, a strategic partner when it comes to digital marketing. Mm-hmm. So we get a lot from that. But I mean, good old fashioned email. We just send messages out to folks, start conversations, and sometimes it'll be a 6 month long conversation, and then it turns into an opportunity.
Interesting. But
that's primarily how we do it. Now we try and running ads for ourselves, because that's what we do. We place ads.
Yep.
And we just don't have the same results that we do when we actually reach out one-to-one on email.
I love it. And do you have any tips for nurturing those relationships while you're having those conversations?
Bring value, right? And so when you do I've adopted this this mindset that when I do a call with someone, let's say I've got an email conversation going, and then they actually want to agree to get on a call with me. My number one intention is to make sure that whether we move forward or not, they leave that call with some sort of value. And mm-hmm. so I want to be able to have a few things that I can give to them and literally say, hey, Bob, thanks for your time. I want you to just take these few things we shared, try them out. Actually, if you want, just take them back to your current agency, see if they'll implement them, or maybe mm-hmm. give them to someone on your team, see if they'll implement them. Or if you want to continue this conversation, let's schedule another call and we can implement those things. And that only works if you truly mean it, because, and let's face it, if you have that attitude, you know, you're going to attract more than if you don't have that attitude, right? And so, yes, we're going to have a few clients that are going to take our effort and go somewhere else mm-hmm. and give it to another agency and they do it. But more times than that, that person is going to go, you know what, this has been valuable. I just want to move forward with you guys. And the fact that we were open about it and we were willing to give them a few tips really helps. And someone led me to that by telling me, Josh, can you name any famous chefs? And so I named a few chefs because I'm kind of a foodie too, but there's probably 100,000 other cooks around the world that are better than any of those chefs you just mentioned. The reason they're famous is because they sell the recipes and things called cookbooks, right? And so give away your secrets, sell your secrets, and you become famous because people see this and go, wow, that's really helpful. And it's coming from that person. I aspire now to work with that person. And it's thought leadership at the core.
Yeah.
And so nurturing those leads is, you know, stay in front of them, offer them. Well, first of all, keep your conversations by email. If it's email, keep it personalized. Don't, you know, copy and paste responses.
Yep.
Make it real.
Yep.
And whatever you can do, you know, if it's every third email, give them something that they can take and use, whether it's, so for us in the digital marketing space, I will sometimes screenshot their ads that are already live with another agency and yep. say, Bob, tell your agency to make this tweak here and here, and I bet you'll get a higher click-through rate on that. Go do it. I hope Bob gets more success from it, because if it works, then he's going to call me next and say, hey, can we talk about a little bit more of what I should be doing?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's so important to just utilize that CRM as well and take yep. notes like as much as possible. And then, 100%. You know, when you're doing those follow-ups, it can be completely personalized. You know, if they said they went on vacation, ask them about that vacation. And like you said, just follow up with value. And I think one thing to mention as well is, you know, sometimes delivering value can take quite a lot of mental thought, you know, like you really have to get creative sometimes. I know like one way we were delivering value to our customers is we put together a blog and we were offering guest blog opportunities. And, yeah. you know, it was quite a lot of work on the back end, but at the end of the day, it pays you back. And it's so valuable to the people that you're connecting with on a regular basis.
Absolutely. And something I forgot to mention is recently we started our own podcast because, well, every agency seems to need a podcast, right? We didn't have one.
Yep.
But I didn't want to have a podcast about marketing, and I didn't mm-hmm. want to have a podcast about the industry we serve. And so I really was looking into what would be something that would be valuable and what would be something that, the guest, and just like you said, we would bring our prospects on as guests, Mm-hmm. What would they want to share? What would they want to talk about? So one thing I happen to notice about all of these successful companies that we serve, and those that are like them that we don't yet serve, they're very generous. They give back to their communities, and they really make impacts locally. And yeah. So we formed a podcast based around giving back, and we call it localpreneurship because they're entrepreneurs that are really driving their local communities.
Yeah.
And we call it the Localpreneur Show, and we invite them on to just simply tell us about the impact that has been made on them mm-hmm. personally by being a part of an organization that is doing what they're doing in their community. And we very rarely have anyone decline to come on and talk.
Interesting.
And so we bring them on. I've met so many of our prospects that would not give me the time of day because to them, I'm just another digital marketing guy trying to get their business. Mm-hmm. Now we form these relationships. Some of them we've started working with. Some of them we're not working with yet. Some we won't work with,
yeah.
But they may refer someone else to us. And it's just part of creating that community, right?
Yeah. I had a podcast guest on a few weeks back, and she started a podcast. It's so funny. It's called How I Met My BFF. And she works with women, and she's a speaking coach. So she helps like digital marketers and entrepreneurs get speaking gigs to grow their business through speaking. And she started this podcast, and she brings on best friends, and they just have a conversation for, 45 minutes or so. And she's like, it turns into oftentimes doing business with the person. So it's just, it doesn't have to necessarily be in your line of work. It's just, it's all about relationship building at the end of the day.
That's it. And I think we kind of started out talking about that is we're all human and we all want those interactions. Even if we're like really, really introverted people, mm-hmm. we know that we seek those connections and we get that feeling of who we want to do business with. We get that feeling of who we don't want to do business with.
Yeah.
And so, hey, as entrepreneurs, we definitely want to be those people that people want to do business with, right? So
100%.
We've got to tap into that.
Love it. So we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but is there anything else you would like to add to our listeners that you think would be helpful?
I feel like I should have a really profound answer to a question like that, but
no pressure.
I think you've asked great questions, by the way. And for entrepreneurs who are watching, or even future entrepreneurs who are, you're sitting at home and you're like, or you're at your desk at work and you're like, I've been putting off starting this business. I hope you're watching and you're learning from these things because it's really, really, really hard to be successful stepping out on your own and starting something from nothing. But it's also extremely rewarding. Mm-hmm. And it's not just because, and I'm not just talking about the money reward. There's so many relationships and connections and lessons I have learned because of this world I jumped into. Mm-hmm. And so I would just say anyone who is, just to add to the conversation, anyone who is doubting whether they should step into it or not, if you've got a vision you believe in, you got to jump out and do it. You know, the ancient Chinese proverb is, says the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago, right? Because that thing would be fully grown and animals would be living in it and you would be admiring its beauty and you'd be partaking in its shade from the sun, right?
Yep.
But if you didn't plant a tree 20 years ago, the next best time is to do it today, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, exactly. I would say you just jump out there. I've encouraged folks, look, just do it until you can earn $1,000 a month. And then, hey, wow, that's $1,000 you didn't have. Now set your goal to $10,000 a month. And if you can do that, then you are probably making more money than you were at your job. And you have no excuse to not want to push all the chips in and go do more. So just start. You just got to start somewhere.
I couldn't agree more. I've heard time again and again that guests on the podcast, that's what they've done. They've just started on, evenings and weekends, just taking on a few side jobs. And then, all of a sudden, they're getting more and more jobs. All of a sudden, they don't have enough time in the day to manage both. And then they just, decide to grow their business. And then, 5 years down the line, they're on a podcast talking about, in hindsight, this is how I grew my agency. And yeah, it wouldn't have happened unless they, you know, decided to take that first step.
Absolutely. Wake up 30 minutes earlier every day and just give yourself 20 minutes back to yourself working on that idea.
Yep. Love
more
it.
More than you're doing now. Yeah.
So where do you see Vital Storm in 5 years' time?
5 years' time. So our short-term mission is to work with 150 of the absolute best in home services in North America. And we're at about 85. And so I think it's going to take us the next 5 years to get there. And when that happens, you know, we will hit certain revenue numbers because we've done the math and we know what those types of relationships yield as far as revenue wise. Mm-hmm. And so we see ourselves in this space. We see ourselves continuing to be a leader in the space. But having brought because the home services space we serve is a few years behind the technology curve. Mm-hmm. And so things that are really attractive and hot right now, like programmatic display, are just now starting to kind of tip their toe into it in home services. So by then, I would love to see us being able to have, you know, across all of our clients, created an offering for programmatic display, which basically gives the little guy mass media. And so you can Amazing. Be a plumber with two vehicles, and, you know, you and another plumber, but you can be broadcasting through devices, though. Not, you know, it may not be on network television, but you'll be broadcasting your messaging across your entire service area. That's pretty exciting.
That's awesome. I love it. Yeah. Well, we're getting ready to move on to the Fast Five, which are five rapid fire questions. Yep. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
All right. So I have a stack of books this high on my nightstand. It stays that way. I usually get through them, but I'm always replacing it with another one.
Yeah.
I mentioned Good to Great. I think if you're an entrepreneur, you have to absolutely read Good to Great. But one book that has made a super profound impact on me recently is this small little book that was written in 1899. I think the guy's name was Elbert Hubbard or something like that. People had names like that in the 1800s. I've never met an Elbert Hubbard. I've never met an Elbert. There may be Elberts alive today.
I haven't either, no.
After this podcast, maybe that will be the new name that moms are naming their little boys. We'll start a new trend. But that book is called A Message to Garcia. And it's a very short book about someone who needed to get a message to a guy, Garcia. They didn't know where he was. They just had an idea. Mm-hmm. And someone stepped up and said, I'll send the message to Garcia. And it's about that journey. And I don't want to give too much away. It's a very, very short read. I think every leader on the planet should be reading A Message to Garcia. Ooh, very short book. You can find it on Amazon.
Awesome. Definitely going to check that out. And what does your morning routine look like?
So I am definitely a morning person. I used to not be that way, but running a business would do that to you because you've got to find time somewhere.
Yeah.
I started waking up by 5 o'clock in the morning, which is, again, that's not how I grew up. I did not wake up at 5 a.m. But I started doing it out of necessity. And I ended up working myself to death until I discovered something by a guy named Craig Ballantyne. I mean, he hit me during COVID. Google Craig Ballantyne, you'll find him.
Okay.
And he has a routine called the Perfect Morning or something like that. And he's actually making fun of the 5 a.m. club. I was the 5 a.m. club, thinking I was getting up and getting extra work done. But I still get up at 5 a.m., but I do it differently now. So I get up at 5 a.m., and I don't do the things I used to study. I used to, you know, pray and do all those things in the morning.
Yep.
And I thought that was how I should start my day. But I learned that there are other things I could be doing, and I could still have time to do those other things that ground me mm-hmm. later at a more appropriate time for me. And so I spend the first, I do three Pomodoros, you know, 25 minutes, 25 minutes, 25 minutes with 5 minute breaks in between on my hardest task for the day.
Yep.
So by like 7:30 or 7 a.m., I have done the hardest thing of the day that I could get done. Maybe some hard thing is I've got to call somebody, which I can't do at 5 a.m., but I get that done. And then the rest of the day, it's called eat the frog, right? The rest yep. of the day, everything else tastes great if you eat the frog first. So that's my morning, 5 a.m., focus time, the the sun isn't even awake. The sun is down. It's dark. My kids are asleep. The dog's asleep. No one's going to interrupt me. No emails come through. No Slack messages. I spend an hour and a half just on my hardest thing. That's my morning routine. It's changed. It's changed me. I love it.
It's interesting. No, it's the best feeling when you can work and feel like you're getting things done quickly. When it's just quiet, you don't have those interruptions. I love working, evenings and weekends sometimes just for that reason.
And you don't have to wake at 5 a.m. like me. I'm just weird. But, if you're normally setting your alarm at 7, set it for 6:30 or 6:15. Give yourself 45 minutes to, and one of the rules is you can't hit snooze. And every time you hit snooze, you're telling your dreams that they can wait. That's kind of funny, but that's what Craig Ballantyne says. Don't hit snooze. That's your enemy.
Love it. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Yeah. So, just like everyone else, we follow the big, great guys, but honestly, there's a CEO that inspires me absolutely the most. It's a friend of mine I grew up with. He does things that, and he's one of my clients today. And, I've been able to see him accomplish some pretty incredible things, and empower people in ways that I aspire to do so. His name's Gus Santos. He's the CEO and one of the founders of Milestone Electric, one of our clients. He's actually that client that we've been with for nearly 20 years.
Amazing.
And continuing still today to inspire me to be a better leader to my people, just watching how he leads.
Amazing. Yeah. And what is your favorite online tool?
Email. I think entrepreneurs are notorious for hating email. Well, we never check it. But that's what my assistant helps me do. She's brilliant at getting me through there. But I absolutely love email. I used to hate it, but I've learned how effective it is because it drives business for us. But also I can outline my thoughts. I can communicate clearly. It's there unless people, and you can, even if you delete it, you can go find it in the trash, right?
Yeah.
But it's just a very, very simple tool. Now, as an entrepreneur and in this space, there's plenty of tools that we use, but man, I'm sort of a purist. Like what is the tool that I would take with me in the next business that I start? Obviously it's going to be email. So I have worked really hard to be a better communicator through email. And I will sometimes retype an email just because I know there's a possibility it could be misunderstood. So, for that very specific purpose, people choose not to use email. I just think it's, you're not trying hard enough.
That's good. I like that. And then last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
I wish I knew that my strengths could also be my weaknesses and my weaknesses could also be my strengths. I think we focus on our strengths. I think we focus on other people's strengths. Mm-hmm. I think we hide from our weaknesses. I believe that in this, so we don't have to wake up every day and go hunt for our food. We don't have to wake up every day and figure out how we're going to feed ourselves. Mm-hmm. We have this incredible opportunity to, in many ways, choose what we want to do. Mm-hmm. There. I know that there are some communities in the world that can't. I know there's even some communities in the United States that can't. But if you are on the United States soil, we generally have more opportunity than most other people. And if you're one of those people that can choose what you do for a living, you can choose what you do with your time, then you can explore even your weaknesses and how those can be leveraged for good. One of my greatest strengths is my attention to detail. Mm-hmm. That also hurts me a lot. It hurts me a lot. It slows me down.
Yeah.
So I've got to learn how to even tame that. Mm-hmm. And then some of my weaknesses is that sometimes I delay making decisions, but it's because I see all the other options I could choose when some people may only see one. Mm-hmm. So I don't want the delay of the decision to hinder me, but I can use that weakness as sort of a superpower. Like, oh, you know what? There's one or two options that others may not have seen.
Interesting.
Let's just act quickly on them.
Yeah.
That's the key. So how can you leverage your weaknesses and your strengths? We have the opportunity to explore those things.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us for the show, Josh. It was really great to chat with you. And I really appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Again, it was a pleasure. I really, really appreciate the invitation.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.